When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near."
It would really help me if you had Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 17 open in front of you. That would be brilliant. I know it's a slight difference from what it says on the notice sheet, which is causing a bit of confusion. And I'm going to pray for us and pray that we would hear God speak tonight. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much that we can meet together and we can look at your word, the Bible. We pray that we would hear you speak to each one of us this evening. We pray that you would help us to understand what it is you're saying. Help us to obey what we hear and help us to live lives as a result of what we hear that honour the Lord Jesus. Amen. So, what things have you been waiting for? Christmas is coming up. Maybe we're waiting for that. For those presents we hope to get. For the fun, the excitement of the day spent with our family. Maybe waiting for school to be over. For that day you leave school for good and you don't have to go back. I don't know what you make of this picture I found, but it's entitled "Waiting for the Perfect Man." Kevin?
That's not me, by the way, but it said Kevin.
Waiting for the perfect man. So obviously, someone there who feels she's been waiting a little bit too long. Sometimes, or if we just move on to the next slide, perhaps. Yeah. Sometimes, things we're waiting for seem to take forever to come, don't they? A few years ago, Laura and I broke down in our old car. Problem is, we were in slow-moving traffic on the third lane out of four on the busy M5 motorway near Bristol. We'd been away camping and Laura didn't have her phone run out of battery. Mine had very limited battery. So after a moment of panic, we realised that we had to phone the police. We managed to do this and they told us to wait in the car. But the cars around us, which were moving slowly, started to gradually speed up until they were actually going quite fast. And the cars would come up behind us and they'd be hooting their horns, there'd be people swearing at us and everything. And I wanted to say, do you really think we're here by choice? stuck in a busy motorway. It felt like we were waiting ages and ages for the police to come, for anyone to come. Now, we've been following through the story of the Bible and the idea of a relationship with God, how it was originally, how it is now after sin, and how the story of the whole Bible shows how our relationship with God, which was perfect, then was broken, and how God, throughout the Bible, is telling us how he will restore this broken relationship with himself. And we've been waiting quite a long time to get to the New Testament. I think it must be about 3 months. But the people in Israel have been waiting several hundred years for the promised Saviour, God's King. But tonight we see God's rescuing King has arrived. The King has come in Jesus to restore our broken relationships. Let me say that again. The King has come in Jesus to restore broken relationships. So the first point, the first thing I want us to see tonight is up on the screen there behind me, the arrival of the King. Perhaps we can look down at verse 12, and I'm going to read from verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which is by the lake, in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfil what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Jesus returns back after being tempted in the desert by the devil to his home region of Galilee, to Capernaum, a small a fishing town by the Sea of Galilee, a large fishing lake. And this was to fulfil something that it says in the Old Testament. Matthew shows us this as he quotes from the book of Isaiah, from Isaiah 9. So, that's why verse 14 says, to fulfil what was said through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience, and he's explicitly showing them that Jesus is the Christ, God's chosen anointed king. Hopefully we've seen this on our tables. We had a quick skim through the beginning of Matthew. How many different times we're shown that Jesus fulfills things that were said in the Old Testament. And he does this here. He clearly wants us to see how Jesus fulfills what was said back in Isaiah 9. And we would have looked at it last week. We've actually changed things around a bit because Bernard's going to be preaching on that at the carol service in 2 weeks' time. Incidentally, we should say that there will be no Sunday at 6 in 2 weeks' time because we have our traditional carol service that Sunday morning in Knights Templar, and our family carol service with a nativity that afternoon at 4 o'clock. So let's just flick back now, if you would, to Isaiah 9. And we're going to have a little bit of a look at that to see what that's got to teach us. Now, I'm just going to read the first verse of Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. In these words, written 800 years before Jesus, God is saying that although he humbled this area before by sending judgment on them, he would honour them and bless them in the future. And in verse 6 and 7, he explains how he's going to do this. Verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. An eternal, rescuing king who will rule forever. That's what's promised. God will provide a saviour for his people from Galilee. So back to Matthew, and we see that in fact he's saying Jesus has arrived in Galilee. Now even remember back to Isaiah, and you were expecting God's king to come from this very place to rescue his people, and Jesus Christ has arrived on the scene. This long-awaited rescuing king has arrived on earth in the person of Jesus Christ. From the very first verse in Matthew, we're led to see that Jesus is this king, descended from King David and from Abraham. The king has arrived. Who's seen the Queen before? Actually, let's have a show of hands. Put your hand if you've ever seen the Queen. Okay, about a quarter of us. I've been walking up the Mall, the road that leads to Buckingham Palace in London, and seen a few police motorbikes riding past, and looked up at this car that's just driven past, and seen the Queen sitting there. I'm sure it was the Queen. And it was quite surreal looking up and seeing her drive past in the car. She wasn't driving, obviously, she was being driven. But that's not normally how we see the Queen, is it? Normally, crowds of people get there really early in the morning and wait around for a long time, for however long it takes, for her to arrive. It's the same with celebrities, isn't it? At university, where I was in Exeter, I was walking along and saw a big crowd of people between down near the cathedral, between the cathedral and this nice, rather posh hotel. And they were clearly waiting to see someone important. So I asked someone who they were waiting for, and I ended up staying there, following the crowd, and I'm waiting for what seemed like ages and ages to end up seeing Michael Jackson. He literally got out of the car and went inside this hotel. And people have been waiting there for hours. But I suppose when the important person that they've been there waiting for arrived, it made it worth the wait for them. Not particularly in my case. But Matthew wants us to see that this long-awaited king, Jesus Christ, who had come for a very important purpose, had finally arrived on the scene. And he was worth the wait. I've got a question for you to think about. Have you seen the king yet? I'm often asked, why doesn't God do something about this or that? Why doesn't God come down to earth to sort things out? Well, God has. He sent his king, his son Jesus, into the world to rescue us. Are you still waiting for something big, for something amazing to happen? Well, it has. God's rescuing king, Jesus, has arrived. But Matthew doesn't want us just to see that the king has arrived. He wants us to see, secondly, the light of the king. The light of the king. Have a look down at verse 16. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Why does it matter that the king is here? Because God's rescuing king brings light in darkness. He offers hope where there's despair, comfort where suffering. He's come to reverse all there is in the world that's wrong. The people Isaiah was speaking to when he spoke these words had been attacked by the Assyrian superpower from the north. This was God's judgment on them for constantly refusing to bow the knee to God in disobedience. And so they're described as living in darkness and living in the land of the shadow of death. And we find ourselves in the same situation today when we elevate our lives, when we evaluate our lives by our own standards. We often fall way short. But when we look at our lives next to God's perfect holiness, we only begin to see how far short we really fall. Naturally, we today are living in darkness, because our sin deserves only God's judgment. Do you know that the fact there is pain and sickness and natural disasters and death is a result of mankind's sin? It's judgment we saw way back in Genesis 3. Now, I'm not saying at all that every time someone becomes ill or dies, it's because of a specific sin. I'm not saying that at all. Rather, that the fact there is illness and death is a consequence of sin in general. But the king that Jesus is has come to bring light. He's come to reverse the curse of the fall. And that is why we can now, living this side of Jesus, receive the blessing he brings. We can have forgiveness. We can have a relationship with God through Jesus. And even the ultimate consequence of sin, death, need not fear us. Where there is darkness, the king brings light. where there's judgment, the king brings hope. Have a look at this picture of light. It says, a light has dawned. So I think that looks a pretty impressive picture, if you can see that. A dark wood with the light at the back shining through. We know that light is a positive thing. Let me step up there so you can all see the picture. We know light is something positive. We can probably think of times when we've been scared of the dark, maybe, and when it gets light, or when we're walking around in darkness and we finally come to a road which is has street lights on it, we're relieved. We need light to see clearly. And Jesus' light and life are so clearly found together. Light, revelation of God. And life, the relationship with God. Two things there go hand in hand. So back to the story at the start. We were waiting forever for the police to come. Well, it wasn't forever, but it felt like it was. Cars speeding past us, angrily hooting. Us stuck in the middle of the road. And I forgot to mention, our hazard lights didn't work either. They just stopped working. Just when you actually need them. And they failed us. We were in a dangerous situation. A number of times, I looked back and it kept looking like cars were going to go into the back of us. We needed rescuing. And when the police came, it all happened very quickly. Two policemen stopped the traffic. They got Laura and practically sort of threw her across over to the barrier, over the other side of a safety barrier. And then they pushed the car as I steered it over to the hard shoulder. And before we knew it, they'd gone. They were off. But the relief we felt was immense. We were safe. But the rescue of King Jesus, nothing comes close to. Isaiah described him as bringing great joy and rejoicing in Isaiah 9. And he rescues people, as we've heard in previous weeks, by going to the cross, by giving his life as a sacrifice. So the second question the passage raises this evening: have you seen the light of the King? Or are you living in darkness still? I suppose many of us here are Christians, I know. And we'll have to ask ourselves, have we truly seen the light that King Jesus brings? Or do we often spend our time in the dark, looking for light in other places? Do we see our greatest need each day is a light that Jesus offers, a relationship with him? Do you submit each part of your life to King Jesus with joy? Maybe we think our reputation matters more. Perhaps we look for the security of a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or a job, or in our image, our fashion, our friends, our popularity, our hobbies. I have to assess which part of my life am I failing to submit to Jesus. There is light then in the darkness. However much we may want these things, we'll sooner or later find that they don't truly satisfy us. They don't give us what we need. They won't save us from the problem of a broken relationship with God. As the beginning of John's account puts it, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. So light of knowing God and having a relationship with him. Just struck today, in my quiet time this morning, let me read a verse from John 3. This is a verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Wouldn't it be a shame if we miss the light that Jesus offers because we love the darkness too much? because of our sin. And we miss out altogether. Let's trust the King to be our light this week and put nothing else before him. And third and finally, we see the call of the King. The call of the King. Look at verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus steps onto the scene, as God's long-awaited promised King, who can truly say the kingdom of heaven is near. Kingdom in the Bible doesn't mean so much a place as we often think of it meaning in sort of faraway kingdom in a fairy tale, but rather it usually means the rule of God. It's the idea of God ruling his people through his King. So God's rule is near. His King has come. And we can say God's kingdom is here, now. Because Jesus is ruling as God's King. And we can have a relationship with God made possible through Jesus. But in another sense, God's kingdom's not here fully yet. There will be a time when Jesus will rule his people face to face. Where all sin and evil will finally be done away with. Often important people have a certain message that they bring. Famous people, celebrities have something they're passionate about, which they become known for. So celebrities like Bono from U2, who work on the Make Poverty History campaign. People like Nelson Mandela, who's campaigned for so many years for racial equality. Bob Geldof and his help supporting Africa through AIDS and to reduce their debt. And more recently, climate change seems to be something we hear about lots and lots, and lots of famous people endorsing. Well, Jesus has a message too that he goes about preaching, and it's a continuation of what John the Baptist taught. And it's summarised in one word. Repent. Turn around. Come out from darkness and give your life to the King. Live for Jesus. Follow him no matter what the cost. And repentance is something we all need to do. Both as we give our lives initially to Jesus and enter into a relationship we can have with God, but also each day, whenever we see there's ways in which we're dishonouring God, or there's things we're keeping from him, or truths about him we're denying, we're to repent, to turn back to Jesus. The great thing is that Jesus accepts us as we are, and he welcomes us into that relationship that he's promised way back at the start of our Bible in Genesis. We see in verse 15 that Jesus came to Galilee of the Gentiles. That's an area with a less predominantly Jewish population. They were politically cut off, regarded as uncultured and irreligious. And yet these are the people that Jesus comes to. Not the proud religious types. Were people who are humble, people who recognise their helplessness and see their need for Jesus. Are you humble? I guess if we're following Jesus, we're following the most humble man who's ever lived. But are you prepared to come before Jesus tonight, repenting of whatever sin it is, acknowledging his rule over whatever part of your life you find hardest to submit to him? Are you and I going to come to the King with absolute humility, acknowledging we're nothing and we need the light that Jesus offers each day to keep walking with him. This is where we are then in our Bible overview. Jesus is a king who's promised. He's shown in the previous verses in Matthew 4 that he doesn't give in to temptation, unlike all of Israel's previous kings we've been hearing about. He's a perfect king. And the king has arrived. Whatever things you said at the start, you've been waiting for. Some of them are bound to disappoint. But not Jesus. He's a king who brings light. He brings the offer of a relationship with God. And the king calls us to repent. Let's pray. Father God, thank you very much that King Jesus has come as your chosen rescuing king. Thank you that you have this plan of bringing us back into a relationship with you, which we've been hearing about week by week. And we thank you that this plan is all by your grace. We don't deserve it, Lord, but we thank you that you love us enough that you sent Jesus into the world to save us. Lord, we pray that you would help us this week to submit all those parts of our lives which we like to keep for ourselves. Help us to submit them to the rule of Jesus, trusting that he is your king who came to earth to bring light. And we thank you and praise you for him. In Jesus' name, amen.